Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
Ooh.
And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please, just get on with the show. Yes.
So, welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. We are in our second episode of our chapter of Valaki. I am joined, as always, by some absolutely fantastic players, and we'll introduce ourselves very quickly. I'll do a very, very short recap, and then we'll get on with the show. My name's Joe Trier, and I'm the DM tonight, and I'm joined, first of all, by Owen. Welcome, Owen.
Thanks, Joe. I'm playing tonight Seth Thorngage again, the lovable rogue halfling, saver of kids, apparently, friend of goats.
Jerker.
When you say friend of goats.
Well, that's friendly.
I mean, I say friend of. I like to cook them and eat them in a Caribbean style cuisine known as jerk goat. Just so we're clear, eat them in a nutritious, no pun intended, kind of way.
No, we totally understand. You like to jerk goats and then eat them.
Yeah.
Yep, understood.
As God intended.
And that's our episode.
One of these titles are going to be titled "The One Where Owen Jerks Goats."
And officially, our next regular player is going to be Aram from Godspell. Now, officially, a How We Roll player.
Hey, he's ahead of me, is he? Now.
Well, yeah, you did kind of skip over one of your own people there.
It's intentional. We're sneaking you in here.
Understood.
Pushing Niall out.
Well, just real fast, I am Aram from Godsfall, and we recently started a podcasting collective called Neon Rival, which I have been having a lot of fun with.
And who you played tonight? Didn't know, like the whole of the Twitterverse is broken over your character.
I am playing Grayson, who is an awakened cat monk on a quest for revenge, and also is one of the cats of one of my listeners that I just lifted, name and all, because they were showing me pictures of kittens, and I was like, I'm going to take that.
And our third regular player tonight is Niall. Welcome, Niall. Are you playing tonight?
Hello, everyone. I am playing Voron Alar, a level 5 zombie high elf, who hopefully in the next, in-game time, hour or two or three, will no longer be an 8-foot tall blue man with 3 eyeballs, and I'll just be a zombie elf again instead, because that's so much better.
Much better. And our guest player tonight is Lisa. Lisa, who are you and who are you playing for those that don't know?
Hello, I'm Lisa Lee and I'm a voice actor and I am playing Viesa Ralinthos. She is an Eladrin cleric and druid, so she's a cluid, who's pretty maternal. And you'll see more of my voice work hopefully by E3 this year because I can't talk about it right now.
Very, very exciting.
Ooh, exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah, super exciting.
So, on last week's episode, they headed towards the town of Valaki, but saw coming towards them an ancient, wizened old hag, presumably the mother of the two hags they'd battled and burned in the windmill. They hid in the forest, but realised as she passed by that she had captive in her wagon 3 toddlers. They bravely discussed for a few minutes whether or not they should save them, and did decide in the end to save them. A very brief battle ensued, where arrows, moonbeams, magic missiles were flung, and she disappeared into the ethereal plane. And we join our heroes as they have taken the wagon, the 2 goats that were pulling it, the 3 toddlers, as well as the 3 other kids they'd rescued from the windmill, and a strange broom half a mile down the road. So guys, what did you decide to do in this sort of downtime between the episode?
I think... So we've gotten this half a mile away down. We're pretty beaten up. We're exhausted after a couple of interesting encounters with ladies. We're going to just kind of cut into the woods, see if the kids are okay, like feed them, get them, you know, some shelter, reassure them, take a bit of a rest ourselves, like set up a little camp for 2 or 3 hours and kind of discuss our next tactics.
Do you want to take the wagon off the road or are you going to abandon the wagon?
Yes. Well, off to the other side. We'll abandon the wagon on the other side of the road and then go deep...
the other way.
Yes. So that
Exactly.
If Morgantha does come back, she looks in the forest the way that we went. The way
I mean, that's a cool idea, but it's not like a dual carriageway. Like, it's not a very particularly wide
road. No, but like, we'll leave it, like, it's a road, and we'll leave the wagon, like, kind of half in the forest on, like, the right-hand side of the road, and we've gone into the left-hand side of the forest, so that's, like, it's kind of a false trail, you know?
Yep, that's the idea.
That sounds really cool. Okay, so everyone do short rest. So some of you can recover abilities. Obviously, as a wizard, you definitely can't. If you need to spend hit dice, if you have any left, spend and do a bit of healing, that's cool.
I will do that.
Is there anything you want to discuss, or do you want me just to brief over the short rest?
Eight.
I leave a note that says, thanks for the broom.
the short rest is, obviously, just mechanically, it's a four-hour rest, so I'm going to spend some hit dice and get that.
1 hour.
1 hour, sorry.
But you want to wait 4 hours if you want to get Voron to midday.
Yeah,
we want to get him to midday to be non-blue, so let's say that's what we're doing. I'm going to spend some hit dice, so I'm going to, like, you know, eat and snack and sleep to get my kind of, just in the game will be getting my rest and getting my health back.
Yep.
But once I've that sorted, I'm going to start summoning my familiar, use my find familiar spell.
And which of your multitude of familiars are going to summon, or have we got a new one coming?
No, not a new one. I'm running out of new ones at this point. I'm gonna call back Dr. Hootson.
Nice.
So when we do finally get in the move, I'm gonna use him to fly as high as he can, and like maybe 700 meters ahead of us, can just get a view of the land every so often.
Nice. Okay.
But as I'm doing that, like I'm gonna find. So we're gonna take 4 hours to do that. We're taking 4 hours rest. Like I've had 2 hours to recover health, let's say, mechanically. I'm gonna kind of be doing my little summoning spell and kind of. You know, half interested in this as I'm doing it. And I'm going to just, like, kind of just pattering around, like, looking around a little bit. Because Saf isn't the most focused guy. Like, just, you know, kicking the rocks as he's doing it and doing his little enchantment. And then he realizes he's got this hat. I'm going to put that on my head as I'm doing my enchantment.
Okay, you will need to attune the hat, which will take an hour, but you will have that time.
Okay, as we're doing that, so when I'm doing my Find Familiar, can we say I do that at the start? I just throw it on, like, is it tuning it, wearing it? Is there an actual attunement ceremony? What do I need to do to tune it?
Yeah, so it's like the sorting hat. So you got to put it on, it tells you what house you're going to know. So I'm sure there is, but we can dress it up however you like. It basically means that you have to spend an hour essentially meditating and linking yourself with it. But basically, it is... I don't think it has a particular name. It seems to have been owned once by a very, very forgetful mage who always found himself memorizing the wrong spell. So while you're wearing this hat, you are allowed to swap out one of your cantrips with any cantrip from the wizard spell.
Oh my god,
that's cool.
I thought it was going to be something more chaotic. I thought it was going to be whenever you cast a cantrip, roll a dice, d20 to get a random cantrip or something.
Right, no, that's actually
However,
much better.
It'd still
because,
be fun.
Because you're not a wizard and you're you are a rogue, although you do have
an arcane trickster.
You are an arcane trickster. It does have a 10% chance of failure.
Right.
Okay. And when you, if you like do get that 10%, then we're gonna roll on the world magic table.
Oh, yeah. I want to fail every time.
Perfect.
Yes.
Grayson time is doing the same thing, eating and snacking, but spending the rest of the time kind of curled up in a ball on the kids' laps, purring, like being very cat-like to try and just get them to relax and be calm and give them some normalcy.
Nice.
Yeah, but I'll make sure that they're kind of, do they need more clothing? All that kind of.
You're gonna totally kind of mother hen them completely because you got
I'm
six
gonna
kids now.
Mother hen them. I'm gonna be mother Wendy them completely.
Perfect.
Give them a good berry each.
Nice. Oh, can you make six of them? Can you make six good berries? You can, right? That's what the spell does. That's perfect.
Oh, I can make so many good berries.
Nice.
That are plus four.
Nice.
Oh yes.
Plus, the kids probably haven't eaten, so perfect.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the kids all seem very shell-shocked. The little boy called Freak doesn't seem to be able to talk at all. You're not sure if it's just down to the kind of post-traumatic stress or whether or not he just doesn't speak. The other little boy, whose name eludes me right now because I don't have my Curse of Strahd book handy, again, is very, very quiet. The girl, however, does seem... much less traumatized by the whole thing. And if you want to ask anything about the town, She seems to know quite a bit. I mean, although she is obviously 12.
But she'll talk to us.
Yes, absolutely.
Just quick meta question, Joe. Just so you said, I can use any cantrip when I want with this hat on?
So, once per long rest, so you are allowed to swap out one of your cantrips for any cantrip. So you could say...
Once per long rest. Okay. As I've... So let's say I tune myself. Can I do it then? Or do I need to take a long rest now that I'm attuned?
No, you can do it. So you can now do it and then... But you won't be able to do it again until you've taken a long rest.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Okay. And you also have to so wear many the cantrips. Hat. So you've got this like massive wizard's hat on.
Okay. Oh my god.
It doesn't, my next question, it doesn't resize like? To fit him. It's just like a giant hat that's barely...
I'm literally like, twice my own height.
You look like... You look like Orko. That's what you look like from He-Man, remember? Just a big, huge wizard's hat.
Yeah, for sure.
Or Vhagar from...
I'm like a sexy Orko.
Yeah, Vhagar from League of Legends.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The little boy is called Oleg, and the girl who's speaking is called Danya. Or if she's speaking, I don't know if you're going to ask her anything.
She seems super helpful. We should definitely talk to her.
I don't know.
So that's the three older kids, isn't it? Oleg, Danya, and Freak.
Oleg, Danya, and Freak, and the toddlers, obviously, no idea.
Yeah. I'm in a trance this whole time. I'm just, like, sitting on the couch. Well, not on the couch, just sitting on, like, a tree stump, meditating. Hopefully slowly, like, changing in size.
Should we move towards the town? Should we, like, get through the next thing? And when it comes to midday, pretty much 24 hours after the spell, sorry, the wild magic zone originally hit you, you lose your blue skin colour, then you shrink, and then you lose your extra eye.
Your extra eye just falls, like it closes up, but the eye falls out of his head and it plunks on the floor.
Keep it as a souvenir. And I pop it in my mouth and I eat it.
That's the extent it happened.
Oh. Can I do that?
Yeah, for sure.
Does it taste good?
It's delicious.
Awesome.
Wow. Alright.
And I've got...
So
I've got
we are
the...
rested...
I've got the umbrella like slung over my back like a shotgun in a holster or something like that, but it's just a broom.
Just from where you are, just give you a bit of description. So the town of Varki, from where you're seeing, seems dwarfed by the mighty structure of its church. The girl Danya says that it's called the Church of St. Andrel, and it's led by Father Lucian Petrovich. I can't speak, apparently.
We got there.
From a distance, you can see the town is surrounded by high wooden walls, manned by numerous guards, all wielding either long spears or what seem to be long guns, similar to those wielded by Irina, but much longer. So we'd think of them as rifles. The road goes steeply down the rise you are on, ending at a set of closed wooden gates about half a mile away from where you stand. I'd say that the river that you travelled down? That kind of spreads out. So when you travelled down it a few episodes ago, it was already wide. It then kind of hits the road and just goes right over the road. So there's a huge chunk of road, probably like 100 metres wide, where the river just runs over. And it's just very muddy, but it's all very shallow.
Okay.
You also notice there is a horse, black horse with a rider on it, just kind of sat in the road about 300 metres from where you currently are.
Does this horse have fiery hooves?
Nope.
Okay. I feel
that's good.
Did we send the kids on ahead of us to the town, or are they coming with us?
They're all with you right now,
yeah.
Eating
okay, cool.
Berries.
They're
and...
in the middle of us, yeah? Like they were before.
It's like you've got your own little orphanage.
All right, cool.
I mean, it's not like we're not going to be... We can't be inconspicuous here. We're, you know,
we're
undead, six kids, cat with a backpack, you know.
Some sort of jester guy with a ridiculous hat.
Yeah.
And I was going to turn into a bear or a riding horse to put more kids on my back.
Nice. That's excellent. Yeah. Just be the bear.
Like big,
at
like,
this point,
we're
going to
go. We're going to go a full fairy, right? Full fairy right. tale. I'll be a big black bear.
That's just like kids with like handfuls of fur holding on. They'll love that.
So, like, Danya seems really shocked. She's like, normally, like,
Strangers are not welcome in Velaki. You want to take as much attention away from yourself as possible, or the mayor's head of the guard, Izek, will get you, and he is terrible. He is half demon. He brings fire from his hand.
I can do that too.
God, this place is awful.
Not like Izek. They kidnap people who are miserable and lock them up in the town square for being miserable. They put donkey heads on their heads and throw things at them, and other people are locked in the burgomaster's house, and who knows what happens to them.
When you said the thing about the donkey heads, Vora just starts laughing. It's like at the idea of it. It's like
we got a people are like weird. Actual donkey heads, like not masks, like they cut heads off donkeys and put the heads of donkeys on them.
No. No, like
papier-mâché donkey heads?
Yeah, like that.
Oh, well, it's a little better.
Oh, arts and crafts is big in this area?
That sounds fun.
I mean...
Let's just get these kids to the church as quickly as possible. Like a beeline for the church.
Daniel's just like, these guys are assholes.
Agreed. Also, just so we're clear, because I know the fans hate this in our show, can I declare the cantrip I want to swap out now, just so when I do say it, it's not like a bullshit choice?
No, you don't. Sure. You can do it on the fly.
Yeah.
You said after a long rest.
Yeah, but when you're casting it, you can decide what you want
to
cast.
The long rest gives you the ability to then switch it out on the fly. You can only do it once.
Oh, this is so much better than I thought. Cool. Right. I got to do so much more reading and cantrips, but let's go.
Nice.
Sorry.
Nice.
I agree with Grayson. We should get to this goddamn church and get rid of these god... I mean, let's save these kids.
You will have to leave the tree line around the... what's it called? The town itself, the wall. They've cut the trees right back. So there's no easy way of entering the town unseen.
Right.
We, at this point, a meta question. We don't actually have any reason not to fear Verlacri any more than anywhere else in Barovia, do we?
No. Yeah.
Nope. It's where you were taking Irina. That's it.
Yeah, and she wanted to go there, didn't she? For safety. This is what we were told by her brother, who we ate,
right,
to go. For safety.
And for all like, you so, know, like, he's still following you as a ghost.
Yeah.
This is the best of the options, basically.
We eat a lot of people, actually, don't we?
Well, I
eat. You do eat a lot of people.
Don't say we, not exactly we.
Right.
Just,
as a group.
Just a you.
We've consumed a lot of people.
Don't worry, we've eaten your fair share. You weren't there, but we covered it. I got it covered.
We're good.
Good times.
All right, so...
At this point, like, guys, why are we hiding? This is the place we're meant to be going to like, this is where we're safe, right? That's what I thought as well. Like, I don't know if we are
safe.
Going to the tree line at this point.
Let's remember, this is the least shitty of all the options. It doesn't mean it's great. It's just
I miss Womford. I miss Womford. We could have set up that coffee shop.
Womford was great.
I wish I was Womford.
I miss Naga and whatever Michael from RPG's character was called. I'm so sorry, I can't remember Michael.
Figure out how Womford was able to, like, to push back the curse?
The man the who... Yeah, so Mr. Womford, whatever his first name was, he...
Derek Womford.
He sacrificed himself, and where he died is a shrine in the center of the town, and a radius around him is that protected area.
Can't really recreate that.
Oh, we can. So if you nobly... But just like, they're chapping my life by Grayson.
All right, well, let's just... I mean, I'll like, drop the backpack and scout a little bit ahead, and if I see something bad, I'll run back and warn the others. But otherwise, we're just people walking some kids into a town. We shouldn't be that.
Yeah,
you know. Well, yeah.
And can I ask Hoots and what he sees over the wall, possibly?
Okay, so you zoom ahead and immediately see something really, really bad. The man on the black horse. Let me get a description of it. Ahead, you see on the road this black stallion. Its rider is a dark-skinned elf dressed in fine black leathers with an exquisite scimitar at its waist. As he searches the road and undergrowth around him, clearly looking for something or someone, you recognize him as Rahadin, the Chamberlain of Castle Ravenloft.
Oh, no. We don't want to...
Do I recognize him?
Yeah, you were with us.
He's the guy that, bats you across the
road. Right.
He's the organ player.
That one's aware of us. I would sprint back and warn the others.
Does he have any burgers? They were really good.
No, but he's got a big sword.
Oh, okay, cool. Is there a back gate or a side gate, like maybe east or west gate into the town that we can go for, as opposed to that one there?
not one that's going to be very easy to get to. So the way that the river is and the way that the tree line is, there's no way that you could easily get by him. Not without taking an enormous detour and crossing the river where it's much, much deeper.
He's looking into the underworld.
He's just looking all like around him, like he's looking for someone or something, but just like stood in the middle of the road on his horse.
So we're still at this point, we're saying, whatever, let's say 6-8 feet deep in the woods, so we can see it, he can't really see us easily because we're looking at an angle down the road.
Right.
If we were to cut back into the woods and try and go past him, like what does Seth think of the likelihood of that being achievable with fucking...
So as I just said...
A small Montessori wooden...
Because if you want to go to Valaki, there's no easy way of getting around him. The trees have been cleaned back from the town. There's this river that goes right by it, and obviously there's no trees there, and it's very, very wide. You can do it, but it would involve an enormous detour, and you'd have to cross the river much higher up where it's deeper.
Okay.
We can't do that with kids.
How far away from us is he?
How far away would you like him to be?
Far away enough that I
50
can...
50 miles!
I want him to be...
Like, how long is...
How far away is Strad's castle? I'd like him to be that far away.
So let me reset. How far away would you like to have gone down the road? He can be anywhere up to 500 metres away.
So what you're saying is how far away from Valaki do we
want
to be, basically?
I want him to be far away enough that when he looks away, I can set the forest on 120 feet away from us, set the forest on fire, so that he'll get distracted by that and we can sneak by him.
Oh, mind reader, I can help you with that.
So, nice. Again, so he's about 200 metres from Valaki in this big open area right next to the river. You are in the forest, so if you set the fire, like he may notice it, but then if you leave the tree line, he's just going to immediately see it.
Yeah, that's what I was
wondering. Right.
Shit, what do I have?
Well...
Wait, actually, I might have an idea.
Ooh. This is the first time I ever might want to ask a question before I do something. Like, even I think this might be a dumb idea.
I could, like, create a...
So, guys. Like, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm not exactly a bard. I know I've been telling you for the last... number of weeks, I'm a bard. I'm not actually a bard. I know I play a mean panpipes, but I'm actually kind of a member of, you know, a thieves guild and a little bit of a rogue. But only take from, like, really bad people. Trust me.
I thought we all knew this. I thought it was completely evident. No, this is new to us? Okay.
Oh my, I'm shocked.
I mean, and as my cover story is about, I'm well versed in disguises and acting, and I have got this, and I take out my disguise kit. Look, Rahadin is up there. Maybe I can just go up, talk to him, see what the story is, and convince him I've seen us, you know, the other side of Valaki, leaving towards the next town. Like, what do you think? Do you think I can talk to him and see what happens? What's the worst?
This is a good idea, but how many halflings have you seen since we've been here?
Who said I'd be a halfling? I see at least half a dozen kids since I've been here.
Okay, fair enough. Are
they going to be like in a trench coat? You guys going to like double up?
Like no.
Like a Bojack Horseman?
No. Okay. I know you're a cat. You don't get how people work or how hominids work. I'm saying I'm going to act like one of these weird, dorky human kid people.
Oh.
Because I look like a human idea. Kid person. Okay, not that.
Like one of the useless children. Understood.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
Sister.
You will be useful at some point, child, but at this point you're kind of a liability. We like
this,
you.
This relies massively on me getting any sort of a role. But, so, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, if he takes out his big, real scary sword, you'll come in and we'll kill him like we did all those
Yes, of course.
I'm pretty sure he beat the crap out of us and we ran last time.
He never beat us. We ran... because we knew he was.
Right.
Who's the smarter guy now?
I have a bit of an idea. Do I see awesome. Any ravens or birds, vultures, owls in the area in the trees?
There's hoots, and I point at my owl above.
No, just locals. I'm looking for locals.
Yeah. Give me a perception roll.
This place got to be thick
because
with fucking ravens.
Because I can use my... Right?
You can't move for fucking ravens.
Pushing ravens aside.
25!
Nice.
I'm going to say that you notice three ravens watching you.
There's a raven sitting on Grace's head.
Right there.
25. Oh. He's been talking. He's been contributing to our plan, this raven. He's that close.
So I want to drop my bear. I'm going to get the kids off my big bear shoulders. I'm going to drop my bear form. And I'm going to go over to these ravens and in Speech of the Woods and say, "Hey, can you do me a favor? You guys are awesome. That guy on the horse over there, he's a bad dude. Do you recognize him? Because I know you guys know when faces and people are not good guys. So if you could just kind of dive bomb him for a little bit so maybe we could get around him or just get by him. Could you guys do that? That would be amazing. Love the feathers. I love them. They're so good. They're just, you guys, I love, you're so shiny."
The best part is she hasn't explained this to us at all. She's just turned and begun talking to three ravens.
The ravens are just like staring at Voron, giving him daggers like.
So what's your persuasion roll?
25.
So they do seem convinced, and they kind of, the three of them fly off towards the
nice
dark figure of Rahadin.
All right, as soon as they distract, we should go. Yeah,
we've got a distraction, I think, and then what, I can set a bonfire over there as well, like something.
I think
at this point, Saf is closing his like flick mirror and makeup and going, "Oh, okay."
So
that too.
I'm going to give you, like, is there anything you want to do before they get there?
Just get ready to run, because the fire would just direct his eye towards us. So the second that he's distracted, we just sprint for it, I think.
If it's an option for me to be disguised as a kid, I'm disguising myself as a kid, because fuck it.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. So the ravens begin to dive bomb Rahadin, but they get within 10 feet of him, like from above, and immediately it's like they've hit a wall and then just fly off as if whatever it is that they've experienced is the most dreadful thing, and they disappear off into the trees.
You owe them an apology, my friend.
Round one failure. Sorry, guys, I tried.
But it was like they hit a wall. It was a really good idea. Difficult to watch.
It was.
Oof. I hate.
It's like when birds hit a. It's like when birds hit a window.
Saf, you're up.
I hate that.
Makeup mirror flicks open and goes. That's not what makeup makes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, really.
Yes, sure.
Yep, it's exactly what makeup sounds like.
He's like picking up the brush made out of human hair and using that to apply like foundation and stuff like that.
Right.
Bro.
So, it's like we're all watching. We're like, "Oh, the ravens are going to do it." We hear like thunk against some sort of force field. They turn and run, and this is just happens. The camera cuts to Seth, who immediately turns away from the camera, opens up his little pocket makeup thing, turns around with this really bad like tanned makeup job, how he imagines like a sun-kissed kid is playing it outside right. All the time, looks, but it looks terrible, like the worst amateur dramatics makeup you've seen.
The blonde hair is just straw coming out.
Yeah.
Now it's Saf's time to shine, guys, right?
Yep. Ah? Go on, ah? Go for it, you can do it, buddy.
You know, you look amazing, that's really good.
Okay. Just so we're clear, I am open to being told this is a bad idea, guys.
No, you can go for it. This is the best way. Go ahead. I like it. Grayson, do you have any input?
I will shadow him. Like, I'll just be his cat. You guys get the kids into town. I'll just be his cat. So if things go down, I can surprise attack and maybe we can get out of there.
And 60 feet away from us, on the other side of him, maybe I can create a bonfire.
Nice. Nice. Something. All right. Hopefully the smoke will kind of obscure some. Well, either way, let's try it.
Okay, so just to set up what I'm going to chance here, Joe. This river that's outside Verlaki is flowing which direction? Where is it leading to?
Okay, well, let me give you a bit of description, then you can sort of decide how you're doing it. So as you leave the sort of cover of the forest and begin to walk towards the walled town of Verlaki, the first thing you notice is the smell. 400 yards from the town gate, in fact it's going to be less than that, sorry, let's say 200 yards from the town gate, the muddy road you're on fords the wide, shallow river that you escaped from many hours before. As you look along the banks, you see piles of refuse, broken crockery, animal bones, entrails, human feces, and rotten meat strewn in and around the bushes. In some places, the muddy banks slide into a thick quagmire where the townspeople have hauled out their refuse and pitched it into the river. In others, rich green grass grows alongside reeds, and they spring lushly from the highly fertilized earth. As you watch, two semi-naked men leave the town gates in their like a wagon and lift a barrel of excrement from the back of the cart and empty it into the water. A small brown pig roots around in the garbage, and just next to the river stands Rahedin, oblivious of all the crap around him.
And push him in.
Okay.
So on the road, it's really shallow. Like shallow. You can just walk across. It's not even ankle deep.
Gross.
Yeah, that's super gross.
I don't have any snacks or anything left. Is there? I'm going to take, like, I have rations left. I'm going to take, like, what is the most, like, just this dry cracker kind of bread that I'm going to say what's in
hardtack.
Adventurer's rations. Yeah, hardtack. That just a small cut off, like not the full piece that would be in the ration. Take a small bit of it. I'm just gonna kind of have that with me as I'm going out. Like as a kid, I'm just gonna like, because kids in Barovia and Vrakki, it seems like heart attack might be like a real treat to these poor fuckers.
Yeah, sadly.
Wow. So, yeah.
I'm gonna like so the raw sexual charisma that was exuding from Saf kind of just dissipates.
I and really now like hope he just so. Put...
yeah. I wonder where you go with that myself.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, have I any allies in this game?
We want you to succeed. We're hopeful, just not convinced.
I mean, we stretched this podcast pretty far, but I think sexy kids is where I draw the line.
No. Yeah, I have to go with you on that one.
Okay, anyway, the raw sexual charisma, like a Sean Connery-esque vibe, just disappears, and Seth, like, this big, like, a ridiculous tooty grin spreads across his face, and he half skips out of the woods and he's like strolling down towards Rahedin. And he sees Rahedin poking around with his scimitar in the undergrowth looking around.
He's sat passively on his horse looking around in all directions. The scimitar's sheathed at his waist.
Okay. So I'm going to keep walking past, like munching on my hardtack, kind of half throwing it up and down and just being like a kid who's walking around. But I'm going to, as I'm doing that, look kind of in the undergrowth around the place, kind of like I've lost something. And then as I'm passing Rahedin, hey mister, have you seen a mouse, a little mouse go by here? I've lost my pet mouse. Have you seen a mouse?
He looks down at you and then he kind of looks at you even closer. So have you just, can you give me a roll? So is there a disguise roll? Have you
As he's looking at me and looks suspicious, and I realize he looks suspicious, like, yeah, a pet mouse. There was this weird cat with like a necklace that just chased off my pet mouse. To see if that like piques his interest and just convinces him to like not look at me.
Okay, so I'll
roll a disguise.
Roll a disguise, or would you rather roll a deception?
Good question, because disguise probably isn't a skill in D&D. Deception is definitely what I want to roll. I don't think disguise.
Going to be deception performance plus 8, I will, or yeah. Deception, I'd say.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with that, so you can choose.
Plus 8 or plus 6, I'll go with deception. Deception's different.
Come on.
He has insight plus 7.
Oof.
Oh no. So, what are we saying? I'm rolling a straight d20 plus 8.
Yep. Okay.
I rolled a 20.
Not bad.
Ooh. Yes.
He gets a 14 and goes, you there, boy. Where did you see this cat and where did you lose your mouse?
He was in town. He was a pet of this really, really bard. He was an average bard, to be fair. He said he was good, a panpipe player. I don't know if he really played the panpipes. Called Saf something. Saf Gage, Lord Torn.
So he looks really suspicious then and says, "So let me get this straight. You've come all the way out of town, even though I've been stood here for the last 4 hours. Walked all the way into those trees over there where you just left, looking for your mouse, and then have come all the way back looking for it again."
I've been looking for my mouse for the last 2 days. They were in town 2 days ago, and the cat chased off my mouse out this gate, and you know,
he chased my mouse away. So I've been out here every day for the last 2 days. And the cat didn't even tell me where he chased him to when he left yesterday.
Can you... He does not seem convinced at all and goes, "Let me put it this way, boy. When you see your companions, Grayson, Voron, Ulrich, and Solvarex, tell them that my master has a deal for you. He has told me to tell you that..." And then, like, he steps closer and you get within his 10-foot radius and suddenly you hear this terrible screaming sound. It's like a deathly chorus of hundreds of maybe even thousands of people that are all being tortured alive, men, women and children, all within this radius of him, as if it's being emitted from him himself. And you can barely hear his voice over this chorus. And he goes, "Tell them that my master has a deal for you. He says, if you find Irina for him, if you find his long-lost love, he will cure every one of you and give you safe passage out of this plane, out of Barovia itself. Tell him that."
What? What do you mean, my companions? I'm looking for my mouse.
My master says that I need to look out for a little halfling who looks very much like you.
Okay, if I see the cat, I'll tell the cat this.
I will say something very... He does seem very, very oddly. He's acting like he's never seen Saf before.
I'm kind of close by. Have I heard all this?
You've heard all this as well, though you can't hear this deathly choir.
Right. But I've heard the fact that he's just called us out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and he did say my companions. I didn't mishear that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said your companions. I would break cover, I guess, at this point and stride up and just kind of like sit on Saf's shoulder and be like, "Fine. What is this deal you propose?"
Was it the average bard that gave me away and like break back at the guy? Like, everyone keeps telling me I'm an average bard.
I'm telling you, the straw was a bad idea. Fed. We've got to do something besides the straw.
As you enter this, the 10-foot radius, you start hearing this deathly screaming, which never happened when you met him before. And he goes, "Ah, you must be Grayson the cat. I have heard about you."
There are a lot of talking cats here.
Obviously, this is also weird because last time you met someone who looked exactly like him, he flung you across the room.
Right.
And he knew everything about us when we last met him.
Yeah, my master says that you have a wonderful opportunity here. Rescue his long-lost love, his reincarnated Tatiana, and he will give you free passage and cure you of any ills. And for you, Grayson, he has promised he will give up the Red Vistani and tell you exactly where they are.
Now that is an appealing offer.
Hand on the shoulder on the cat. Rahadin, why do you follow your... Why is he your master? Why are you doing this? I mean, what has he given you? Why do you follow him? Like, does he respond to calling him Rahadin?
He looks at you, he does, and he looks at you absolutely disgusted and goes, "I will not discuss the last millennia's service to my master. He is a great man, and he gives you this one-time offer. Bring Irina to the castle, and you will be rewarded justly." And he then turns
and if we
to
don't,
gallop off.
And if, as he tells us, if we don't...
"You will find out how angry my master gets when he is not obeyed."
"Oh no, I've got a big giant skeleton!" Literally, that's what I say in character.
he gallops off.
"Look at all my wolves."
Well, I would immediately report back to her about the possibility of getting to the Red Vistani.
Before he runs off, I'm going to say, "Cat, there is Grayson." Sorry, yes. Cat seems really offensive. I'm sorry. There is definitely some fish in this river, and I can help you get some fish if you just tell them that we took care of this and he's gone away, okay? We can tell them what he said, but we took care of this. All right, don't tell them about... It works. The plan worked, okay? That's all I'm saying. That's all we gotta tell them.
What do you want them to not know, halfling?
I don't want them... It worked. That's the plan worked. If they asked, I nailed it, right?
Yes.
10 out of 10 performance. I just want a good review.
That sounds fine. Agreed. Okay. And I'd sprint back and it was like, the performance was flawless. He was completely fooled. I broke cover because he mentioned a deal. And this is what was proposed and I would share it with the others.
You definitely should have went back and went, Performance was fucked. That was terrible. That's what I thought you were going to do.
I have a picture of Rahadin.
Oh, excellent.
There you go.
Oh, look at it. Wait, where are we looking at this on?
Roll 20.
Roll 20? Oh, there it is. Yeah, he looks like a dick.
He does. He looks like a bit of an arsehole.
He does.
He looks like every Tolkien elf ever, other than Legolas.
He looks like the Tolkien elf that decides not to help the people, right? And like screws everyone over. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
He needs some prunes.
I think it's like Elrond.
Kind of.
It's like Elrond. Yeah.
Kind of. He's got that if Elrond had an evil brother, right?
Yeah. He's got the horrific widow's peak balding thing going from the Elrond has.
Yeah. I had that for a while. It's not a good look.
Is it? He looks a bit like, what is it, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
Yes, it does. All right, well, let's get these kids to the church, right?
Let's get moving.
Let's get them to the church.
Yeah.
Okay. And as we do, I want to ask Dania if she knows. Do we know who this Irina is? Or Tatiana is?
As you asked the question. Oh, yeah. That's a...
Irina is a friend that we were traveling with earlier when we arrived in Barovia.
A friend we lost? She got away from us.
We were camping, and when we woke up that night, there was signs of a fight.
At that point, when he says we, some of us were already awake.
You were gone. I don't know where you went.
Yeah. So, yeah, when he was asleep, me and Irina ended up kind of walking away. We ended up getting in a little fight with Strahd's minions.
Oh no.
Long story short, I may have ended up thrown in a river and I met this cat, and Irina has been missing ever since.
Right. So just to very quickly recap, so when you met Irina in the village of Barovia, she'd had Strahd haunting her, so he'd bitten her at least once, basically tried to seduce her, and her brother, who was the Burgomaster of the village of Barovia, basically employed this team to take her to Valaki, where he believed she'd be safe. Along the way, they did lose her, so they've no idea where she is now.
We didn't lose her.
She lost
us. I got thrown into a river. Because I followed her, didn't I?
Yeah, you woke up and you followed the kind of sounds of the scuffle.
You got separated.
Yeah, for sure.
You got separated.
However, you did have dinner with Rahadin, although a suspiciously different looking or different acting Rahadin to the one you just met.
And we saw the portrait then, didn't
you
we?
You saw the portrait, so a very ancient portrait, which basically showed...
In Strahd's castle,
in his dining room, that showed Irina in a wedding dress with Strahd and Sergei Strahd's brother. Rahadin told you a story where... she was due to marry Strahd. However, Sergei was also in love with her and basically killed her and then flung himself off the... Or flung her... I would have to go back and listen, but I think he flung her off the... Or she jumped off the tower. Well, she committed suicide and he died as well. And ever since then, her spirit reincarnates. And so this is the last... Strahd feels it's another chance for him to be reunited with his lost love.
And the vibe we very much got after hearing that story was, what really happened is definitely Strahd killed his brother because he loved his brother's wife. Like, that was a vibe we got off that story, more or less, wasn't it?
Shoddily told story.
I mean, he is no bard of Seth Thorngate.
So, just to move the story on, because I feel we're now two episodes in and we still haven't quite got to Valaki.
Yeah, fair enough.
Grayson and Vieses have very, very high passive perception, am I right?
Correct.
Yeah, 17.
So as you're kind of strolling through the rank river, sort of it's sort of toe depth.
I am riding on shoulders because toe depth is up to my shoulders, so I am riding on shoulders.
Well, anyway, in the reeds to your left, you notice a figure. It looks like a body. And when you look closer, it appears to be the corpse of Sylvarax.
Ew.
Discarded in the river with all the rest of the refuse.
Huh.
Wait, where did we lose his corpse?
It would have been in the cart before.
Yep.
With Madame Eva.
No. So Auric Yevgeny Soldar.
Oh, yeah.
Yevgeny was possessed by Soldites. They went ahead and they had Solvarex's corpse on the back of Warty.
Right.
Okay.
So you haven't seen them since about 7 o'clock this morning.
This is a good sign. This is a good sign.
Does he need this? Like, does he need this to get back into his body?
this is just Grace. This is Grayson asking because he doesn't understand how people work.
So you were going to take, or he was going to get the corpse to the church to try and get it resurrected.
Ah, damn it. Fine.
I love the idea of Grayson batting the body.
Get the corpse. We got to bring the corpse. We got to bring the corpse to the church too then, right?
If the corpse is out here and Ulrich is not around, we can only assume they're not going to let us drag a corpse into the town.
We can if Bernie's it.
we're just turning into a Benny Hill sketch. This is gonna have like kids running around between doors.
We put a cloak on him, right? We tie his legs to a donkey, and we ride him in the town.
As you begin investigating the corpse, you notice that a lot of the guards seem to be paying you a lot of attention.
Yeah, let's maybe go into town, get to the church, maybe ask the church about the corpse. Make another trip. He's not going
that
anywhere.
That corpse isn't going
anywhere. That's fair.
We know where he is.
Let's go that in and fair. See if we can find Ulrich or find out why the corpse is out here.
Yeah.
Agreed.
As that's happening, can I pick up like a large rock and leave it on his chest so he's just it's submerged underwater and it definitely isn't going to float away?
Yep.
Ew. I'm going to pickle him in suet.
So as you approach the gates, there's like two wooden towers either side. Each tower has two guards in each, all pointing these long rifles at you. The gate opens slightly and one guard comes through holding an enormous spear, and he stands before you and says, "Why were you messing with that heretic's corpse?" And I think that's where we'll end today's episode.
Nice.
So, thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much, everyone, for playing. Lisa, Aram, is there anything you want to plug or mention that you want to do before we leave today's episode?
I would say go check out neonrival.com. And well, see what God falls up to.
Well, yeah, Godsfall, the Dungeon Rats, and our new, Godsfall, the Dungeon Rats, the Tomb of Annihilation, and we're going to be launching a Star Trek show soon. So Patrick will be launched. Well, Patrick's like behind the scenes on the actual old Star Trek, the Next Generation show, but he'll be launching a play in the Star Trek universe, I think 100 years after that. So like future Star Trek.
Wait, he worked on Star Trek? Is that what you're saying?
No. He has a show where he does commentary on the old, like they basically rewatch the old episodes. His name is Pat. His friend's name is Pat. The other Pat has never watched Star Trek. So Pat is trying to get Pat into Star Trek, and they call it Patrick.
Patrick.
Nice.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's excellent. I've guest starred.
I never watched Star Trek, so I kind of want to get into Star Trek and just listen to if they have the same experience. That's amazing.
I've guest starred on it twice, and twice have been episodes I didn't like that I have just savaged, and I think I almost made Pat cry.
I would listen to it just for that. Yeah. Yes. And bloopers.
Right. Good times.
And to be honest, I've been following Pat on Twitter, and I am like, I'm not a massive Star Trek geek, but I am quite excited about it. So I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. And thank you very much, everyone at home, for listening. And we will be back next week with the next episode, where we will definitely get into the town of Falaki. I think I've been saying this now for about 14 episodes.
Well, like, we'll definitely get into the town, assuming Joe doesn't throw another roadblock at us. A literal roadblock.
Challenge accepted.
As long as we get into the town eventually, it's true. You know,
and you're literally herding cats.
Right.
So we had the road to Valaki, which was originally going to be Valaki, and then maybe this could be like the river outside Valaki. Right. Anyway,
the doorstep of Valaki. There you go.
And then the next episode, we turn around and go, "Yeah, Valaki took a lot of effort. Let's just go on to one."
Right. Let's go back.
Tis a silly place.
Yeah, tis a silly place.
Look at those gates. Let's go.